When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to episode 1022 of Flow Wrestling Radio Live. I am your host, Christian Piles, joined today, no Ben Askren, no JD Raider. They've left me alone with my arch nemesis, the Michigan man, Tyler Meisinger. He's here to my right. He's not at the bar where he's most comfortable. Read between the lines there. Tyler, how are you?
What... are you implying that I'm an alcoholic?
You're just of that generation.
The generation of alcoholics?
The generation of, you know, partying and no consequences and just a decadent lifestyle.
You should hear Shane Sparks talk about the 80s. I think he might disagree with you.
He probably said, man. Kelly Lynch. We were driving at the Last Chance Olympic Trials qualifiers, me and Sweet Prince, a.k.a. Connor Petros, who we should start bringing on the show some because
absolutely
he is a gem. And he was talking about, he listened to like something about Roadhouse. And I said, bro, we did a full breakdown on FRL of Roadhouse with Shane Sparks. And he's like, I got to hear this. So we started playing it. And I guess one of the main lady on there was an actress named Kelly Lynch. And Shane thought she was beautiful. And then at some point we talk about her and then Shane just goes, Kelly Lynch.
He just says her name.
He just says Kelly Lynch. We'll have to find the clip. Well, that's pretty funny.
There's a new Roadhouse. Have you seen it?
I haven't. Spey said he couldn't believe how terrible it was.
Oh, that's a bummer.
Yeah.
That makes me sad.
That doesn't mean we shouldn't go watch it.
I want to see it.
I couldn't believe how terrible the first Roadhouse was.
It's got Conor McGregor in it.
And it was incredible. Mm-hmm. The first Roadhouse was great. Okay. Couple things. One, Ben is at Vegas right now, getting mm-hmm. ready to coach the AWA faithful to great victories, mm-hmm. soaring to new heights. James Dean Raider is on a trip, mm-hmm. boys trip,
oh. San Francisco, baby.
Oh boy,
Frisco
reunited with his best man Anthony
SF,
Mancini.
San Fran.
That's right.
There's a lot of names. The Windy City.
That's the mm-hmm. main one.
Also,
and then and so, yeah, it's just me and Tyler. We're going to have Giant DeJulius is going to be on the last half hour. That's going to be fun. We have so much. We only got into like three weights last year at the last show mm-hmm. for the Olympic trials. So we have plenty more to get into there. Transfer portal talk. U.S. Open is going to be insane for U20s, U17s. We're going to get into some of that a little bit. But first, at the top, man, crazy news, scary news. If you haven't heard, Ohio State head coach Tom Ryan was in a very serious automobile accident earlier this week. After I think it was on Monday, and is expected to make a recovery. It's non-life threatening, but sounds like lower body injuries are very serious, and surgeries and kind of a longer road to recovery for Coach Ryan. So obviously, we really appreciate and enjoy Coach Ryan, and he brings a lot to wrestling. And Ohio State has brought a lot into wrestling, and you know, this is a guy with seemingly limitless energy and passion for life and the sport, and just wishing him a speedy, quick, and full recovery. And we're obviously behind him all the way and hoping for the best for Coach Ryan. So definitely sad news, and just so thankful it's not worse. Someone sent me a picture of the remnants of his vehicle, and it looked like it could have been a lot worse. So thankful for that, and hopeful for better days for Coach Ryan ahead. And it sounds like, you know, Dennis Papadatos, the head coach of Hofstra, is a friend of Coach Ryan's through the years. And he was reporting that Coach is in good spirits, and he's surrounded, you know, his family's all there, and he's sort of confused by the whole situation, like kind of what happened, I guess, but that, you know, it's going to be a while, but he's going to make a recovery. So thankful for that. And thinking about all the wrestling bucks, and man, been a really, you know, crappy back-to-back off seasons for Ohio State with Sammy Sasso last year getting shot and, you know, the obvious impact that had on their team last year, and Sammy's future moving forward in wrestling is still, I think, unclear. Now Coach Ryan dealing with this, just hoping for less of that for the wrestling Bucks for sure. So,
yeah, they're due for like 100 years of no track.
Yeah. Honestly, like most programs go through, you know, so much time without anything like this. And now, so yeah, I think they're due. They've had plenty of tragedy. Time for positivity. Positive infinity. That was, I don't know if you know.
I don't know that.
That was like their, that was like their motto in the, I want to say like the 2018-ish season. They started saying positive infinity.
Okay. So,
positive infinity to the wrestling Bucks.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Tyler, you are the one with the laptop, which
yes.
which gives you some power, some control, and some influence over the show.
Finally admit it.
Well, it's yes, I'm admitting it. I'm admitting that you have a laptop.
And I have a laptop.
I'm,
oh, you finally admit I have a laptop.
I'm man enough to admit that you were issued a laptop when you started working here. Mm-hmm. So with that comes an element of, you know, driving the show,
mm-hmm.
picking the next topics. Mm-hmm. So I'll kick it to you. I'm assuming Olympic trials.
You want to run back to Olympic trials first?
We never finished it.
So there were three weights we never talked about. That those were 97 heavyweight and which one did 65. We skip? We skipped 65.
Yeah.
So you want to start with 65?
Let's do that. Man, so the question is, I thought Nomad had actually a really good tweet about this. Just generally, like the trials process, he's like, sitting out is a huge advantage until it's not, and cutting weight is a massive detriment until it's not. Like, you really can't factor in, or like, you know, you're not too old until you are, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw a lot of that. We saw with Zane Rutherford, like, everyone knows one of the biggest, most brutal weight cuts, but he was able to navigate it. One, you could say it's partially because day one, he had an 11-hour recovery before his first match. But on day two, there was no such recovery. He was wrestling Nick Lee, the reigning world team member, within 2 hours. And, you know, first match was really, you all often wonder when you're wrestling teammates, are you limited? Is the score low because of familiarity? Or in Zane's case, is it because he's recovering from a tough weigh-in?
Yeah.
But then the second match, it was a little more dominant. I think a 5-0 after a 2-1 win for Zane in the first match. So yeah, I thought Zane did a great job, but there's more to this weight class for sure. What stood out to you?
Well, I was going to say the familiarity aspect. In 2022, I was at Worlds, and I want to say Zane brought Nick as his training partner.
Mm.
I think I remember last year he was shouting out Shane Van Ness. I can't remember if he brought him or not. I think he brought him to Worlds last year. So I don't know if they're still training with each other, if maybe they knew he would be making the descent to 65, what was going on there. But I'm sure there's a lot of familiarity with these guys.
Absolutely.
There was a really awesome moment where, like, Nick basically had won his semifinal, but there was a challenge, so he was kind of just, like, pacing around the side of the mat. And while he was waiting for the result of his challenge, Zane had won. And they both just, like, pointed to each other, and they were like, yeah. And it was in State College. That was a cool moment for them and for the Penn State fans. But, yeah, part of you wonders what a match with Jesse Mendez versus Zane would have looked like 2 hours off of weigh-ins.
Well, yeah. I think a lot of people were wondering that. I think a lot of people left State College wondering, is Jesse – I mean, I think everyone knew. When we looked at 65, there were a lot of guys that were like, it could be. You know, yeah. No one was like, Jesse Mendez is not ready to compete at this level. No one thought that. But to see him go through – McKenna, who is so seasoned and has beaten just about it. I mean, he's beaten Zane. Mm-hmm. He's beaten Yanni. I'm not sure if he's beaten Nick Lee, but he's beaten just about everyone there is domestically at 65. And then he beats James Green, who's incredibly decorated. Then he beats Yanni, who is the only guy to medal since 2006 at this weight class. And so you feel like he's really – and then he gives Zane one of his toughest matches. And I think you can't say, hey, two-hour weigh-in, that match doesn't look different, because 11-hour weigh-in, it was a 1-point win for Zane. Absolutely, there's a scenario that Jesse Mendez is the guy. But I think Zane had an earned benefit and an earned advantage, and he was able to make the most of it. And who's to say that Jesse doesn't beat Zane and go on to lose to Nick Lee?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't really know. There were a lot of surprises in this weight, though, honestly. And I think one of the biggest was Andrew Alirez in how he lost to Nick Lee. And in the lead-up, you know, I was openly really high on Andrew Alirez coming into this for a variety of reasons. One, I think he's just a complete package, offense, defense, parterre. Two, he has had good success internationally. He's won some tournaments. He beat Haji Aliyev. And something that John Kozak had been bringing up is, like, no one takes this guy down. This guy, does give up some points, but it's rare. Guys have a hard time taking him down. His defense really sets him apart and makes him so tough to beat. And Nick Lee was scoring. He scored like 11 points on him, maybe more than that. And I just didn't anticipate that. Andrew starts out up 4-0, and before the exchange is over, it's like 4-2 and 2. And then Nick he was able to take down, he was able to turn. And so that was not, if you told me Nick Lee beat Andrew Alirez, that's not stunning necessarily, but him scoring that many points, I wouldn't have expected that. I had maybe a higher belief in Andrew Alirez's defense and ability to shut guys down than maybe I should have. So that was a surprise.
I think you asked anyone around this office, we all were like, Andrew Alirez, like kind of like side-eyeing him, like, he's looking good.
Yeah.
He won senior nationals. Yeah.
No, he did, and he did look good. And, but the result was not what I expected, and how it played out was not how I expected. But great performance from Zane against Nick Lee. You know, what are, as you think about 65, and these matches kind of get lost in the shuffle because so much of the focus becomes the finals and the matchup and all of that. But thinking back, we had some fire early matches, thinking about Larkin versus Yanni. Mm-hmm. That was a crazy.
Let me pull up the way that scored.
No one's higher on Caleb Larkin than Caleb Piles.
Caleb Piles?
He texts me. He's texting me in the middle of the thing from his little phone there. He's like, he goes, Larkin is insane.
He is.
He is insane. And then he goes, next text, definitely a four-timer. And then I got home, he goes, Larkin's just him.
Bro, he does crazy stuff. Like, times where you expect him to get taken down.
The craziest thing he does is make 143 and a half pounds.
I was just going to say that, too. He looks massive.
He's so big.
He looks bigger than Zane.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's so it's always tough when it's like,
yeah,
tall, Zane's thick, so, you know, comes out, but
this kid is huge.
He's so big, and it's sort of a
like you think about people like Alec Pantaleo, James Green, who like the cut is so tough for them.
Yeah,
Caleb Larkin looked bigger than both of those guys.
Yeah, he's massive, and the shame. I don't know if it's a shame. Maybe that's dramatic, but it feels like we're not gonna be able to see him long term at 65. Right?
Yeah, probably not.
He's a true freshman. He's gonna wrestle it. Probably 157 next year. Although I wonder about the Parco transfer, if that impacts where Larkin ends up wrestling. But I think, you know, if you're looking for one of the most hyped freshmen coming into next year, I think it has to be Caleb Larkin. Mm-hmm. I think I don't think he's a freestyle, you know, specialist. He's really good at freestyle, obviously, but I think he's got it for folk style as well.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be a difference maker for Arizona State. Kyler's obviously going to be fantastic when he gets to Tempe, but yeah, he can't be anything but excited about Caleb Larkin. But yeah, you have that match.
Yeah, so I don't know if you remember, Yanni was down with like, what is this, 4 seconds to go or something?
Not much time.
Yeah, this is a little hard for me to read, but I remember he got like four with, it was like, no time left on the clock to win the match.
It was a long quad pod exchange,
yeah,
where Yanni was like in on the takedown, and you're like, can Larkin hold this off long enough? And if you can envision, because we can't play it or we would go to jail, mm-hmm, literally prison,
mm-hmm,
he's backside double kind of, and then he kind of lifts Larkin up and he steps behind the hand that's posted and sort of like kicks it through. And Larkin, when you're watching from one angle, it looks like he exposes. And we watch from another angle, it looks like Larkin just sits up and is just kind of behind Yanni at, mm-hmm, that point. And at the time, I thought for sure points for Larkin or for Yanni. Then I watched the replay. I was like, is that points?
Yeah.
And I think it's probably the right call.
I think I understand this, the way that the track wrestling chart is a little bit better. So It was 8-8, right? Mm-hmm. With 4 seconds left, Yanni got two. Then they added two. You know what? I'm not going to try.
Don't worry about it. He won at the end.
He really won at the end.
He's not ready yet. He's not at that Trek wrestling.
But we were there. We saw it. The most impressive thing from Yanni from that match was how he didn't get laced a couple times. Caleb Larkin had the deepest lace I've ever seen on a man. And Yanni fought the lace so hard that I was like, oh my God, I think Yanni's going to win this bracket. Like, this is how determined this man is to not get caught in this lace. It obviously, Caleb scoring 8 points on him reduced a little confidence in Yanni in that instance, but also, like, the fact that he didn't get laced, it was nuts. He was a dog for that.
Yeah, he fought off that lace to the point you're like, are you going to get injured from this? Yanni, super tough guy. But he goes down to Mendez. And, man, for Yanni, it looked like he was going to go on a run at this weight class for a couple of years. And then after, you know, he had held it down in 22 and he got silver, and he thought, all right, this is going to be, Yanni's going to go on a little run here. And then he gets upset by Nick Lee, and then he falls here at the trials. And you're wondering if a lot of people said, you know, look, in one thing I'm wondering about with Yanni, because he's obviously a superstar wrestler, and people felt like he didn't look right. People felt like even just like physically, he didn't look quite the same, quite as strong and powerful. And you wonder the impact of that concussion that he suffered in the wrestle off. I mean, he was hospitalized and had like an overnight stay, so it wasn't your run of the mill, you know, bonked your head. It was pretty serious. And if anyone's coached or dealt with someone with a concussion or had one yourself, if the prescribed training reduction can be really insane, and you can be off, not just off the mat, but like even lifting. And so a lot of the things, and I don't know, I'm not saying this is what happened, but you can read between the lines here and wonder, hey, the guy did suffer a concussion in front of everyone, and then we saw this performance here. I don't know. It makes you wonder how good the lead up in training was for Yanni for trials.
Yeah.
And that's just how it is. I mean, that's the sport, right? It's the date is the date, unless you get an extension. He doesn't get an extension.
I mean, and a concussion is a tough thing too, where it keeps you from doing like anything.
Yeah.
You can't even really cross train when you have a concussion. You can't, they keep you from running a lot of time or even like getting on the bike. So that's really tough. I don't know how long he had to stay off the mat or what the situation was. I know that he posted pictures on Instagram story. He was having to wrestle with like a helmet, basically.
Oh, really?
One of those headgear that like
Meyer Shapiro.
Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, that's really tough.
That's tough. Okay.
Moving on. Let's move on to Frontside 97.
You know, Jaden Cox retired. He lost to Colin Moore. And then when that happened, I said, all right, Colin Moore, Kyle Snyder, round 500.
Mm-hmm.
And then Isaac Trumbull comes through and smokes Colin Moore.
11-1.
11-1. Match terminated. That was an incredible performance from Trumbull. Not one I expected. But watching Jaden, just his performance, it does feel like it was time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just not that was not the Jaden that, you know, we've watched over the years. It definitely felt like a you know, not his best version. He went out on his terms, which I appreciate, and certainly have always appreciated Jaden and what he brought to the table over the years. But
and he said that in his interview. He's like, yeah, you start to lose the guys that you used to dominate. Maybe it's time.
Yeah. I mean, the 1-1 with Carroll, which, I mean, I was, you know, it's confirmation bias, right? Everything is, and everyone knows you know, I really like Jaden a lot personally and always enjoyed watching him wrestle. And so, you know, he beats Christian Carroll 1-1. And it's like, well, Christian Carroll's just that guy. I mean, that's that. And I kind of still believe that Christian Carroll is like, he's super good.
He is.
But if we're being honest with ourselves, that was a signal, right?
Yeah.
I think Jaden's ready to move on. I'm excited for him. And
we never got to see Snyder versus Cox at the Olympic trials.
I know. Or Final X. It's so crazy that we thought, all right, we're going to be getting this for
for a whole quad.
Yeah, or for really a generation.
Yeah.
These guys who have been linked since high school, they wrestled in 2015 NCAAs. It seemed like they were going to be competing in the same weight classes for a long time, and it just didn't happen. I mean, Jaden had great flexibility in his weight class and that he was able to go down to 86 for a couple of years. And then they changed the weigh-in rules, and he went up to 92. And then in 21, he had to go up to 97, which I don't know if you remember, that was a huge debate. I mean, that was like the number one question going into trials in the 2020 year was, is Jaden going to go up or down? Is he going down to 86 and take on David Taylor? Is he going to go up to 97 and take on Kyle Snyder? Basically, you had a world champion on either side, and it was big news when he went up, and this is the showdown, and then the showdown doesn't happen with the weigh-in fiasco, and then last year, the injury fiasco, and here, now Jaden is just sort of at the end, and Kyle Snyder is, you know, seemingly...
He's got 20 more years. See, he wants to wrestle until he's 45.
Unreal.
He said he keeps saying every interview the last couple of years, he's like, I just feel like I'm just beginning.
He has been saying this. And, you know, it was one of those things where like, okay, Kyle's 19 right now.
Yeah.
Of course he's saying course he wants to wrestle. Beginning. But now he's 28. Is he 28 or 27?
I can double check that.
Okay. I'm pretty sure he's 28. And he's still saying the same things. He's still like, yeah, I'm going to. He's 28. And he wants to wrestle only 17 more years. So, you know, you appreciate these moments because it's almost over for Kyle. We're coming down the last, you know.
You only have 17 more years.
You only have one full decade remaining of Kyle.
That's right.
No, it is incredible. And, you know, it's one of those things where he's obviously takes care of his body really well. But being an upper weight is an advantage, right? We've seen in MMA and other sports. That produces longevity that being a lightweight just doesn't. The injuries pile up. You lose some of the twitch, and that's a big part of those lightweights, really up to 74, I would say. You need that, and it's hard. I mean, as we've seen with Jordan, like, as great as he is and was, like, losing just a half step, a little bit of that explosion, it makes guys who wouldn't be able to stay on the mat 6 minutes with you really competitive with you. So, but yeah, for Kyle Snyder, man, it feels like he's going to be around for a long time. Now, the question is, I did a video about this yesterday. When does, because he has had an unbelievable stranglehold that I don't know if, I think we just sort of take it for granted because he's just been, in every two out of three, he's been a next topic since 2016.
Mm-hmm.
Ever since he vanquished Varner. In that was his last time he was really challenged in a two-out.
Lost the first match, right?
Lost the first match 4-4.
And Varner was the reigning Olympic champ at that week.
Yes. But Snyder had beat him in 2015 to make the team he won Worlds, and then he beat him in 16 in three matches. And since then, it's just been Snyder next topic, and it's been accurate. And then I went back and I totaled up just the match scores for Kyle versus his opponents in the two out of three. This isn't round one of the U.S. Open. This isn't early world team trials. This is the two out of three. This is the number one and number two in America at the weight class. And the score is 126 to 15. 15 points. That's all they've scored. That's including Varner. That's including everything.
That's 9 years.
9 years. And he's made 10 straight teams.
10 years.
You're right. It's nine because the 21 world team, he was automatically on. He didn't have to wrestle off for it. But 126 to 15 in the two out of three, that's insane. Many of them were like, and there's a lot of like, there's like a 13-3 win in there. There's an 11-1. He's just
less than a point per match.
Yes, it is. yeah.
For those quick math people out there.
Which I'm not.
I know. That's why I said
it. You know what? Some things can be left unsaid. Tyler.
Okay. Good point. Okay. One thing we did talk about a little bit was the success of Isaac Trumbull's Olympic redshirt.
Yeah.
And just talk about like he was the most successful Olympic redshirt probably, yeah. Right?
Yeah. For sure he's the only one that made the finals and yeah, definitely successful and good for Trumbull. I mean, beating Colin Moore, making a national team—that's a real status. And as we look to the future for USA at 97 kilos, it's like, who is ever going to beat Kyle Snyder?
Mm-hmm.
Who? I mean, are we talking about like Are we waiting for like Sinclair's and Mirasola's to get big? Well,
yeah.
The only guy that really seems like on the scene right now that could be a challenge for him is our Olympian at 86, mm-hmm. Aaron Brooks. And there's, you know, wonder how long he holds this down. Now,
apparently he gets up to 215 pounds.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, the weight for 97 is 213. So you still got to get bigger if you want to be a full 97 pounder. But
if he gets up to 215, just knowing he's got to make 197 and 189, then there's probably some, he's probably like, I'll get this big, but no bigger kind of thing. So if he had the mind to, how big could he get is a question.
How is it, like, is he just lifting like crazy? Like, how does, is it in his genetics? Like, what is causing this? Like, why is he getting so big?
I mean, he's young.
He looks huge.
Yeah. I think he's been holding down a weight. I mean,
he looks like he has like a shell on his back.
Yeah.
Like, it's Ninja nuts. Ninja Turtle.
Looks like Donatello. This dude, I mean, I think, you know, you watch him as a 184. I thought he was an undersized 184 his true freshman year. And he's been slowly getting bigger, but he's just been holding that weight. And after like his sophomore year, there was tons of speculation. He wants to move up. He's going to move up. He's going to move up to 197. That was the talk for a while, but he just ended up holding it. I think lineup-wise, it maybe made more sense or whatever. Or he just wanted to stay at 84. But I think he's just been kind of like reducing how much he could grow for a couple of years. And now he's just kind of finally exploding and just huge. And
is that happening to Carter Storace now too?
I mean, I felt like he was got massive before our eyes at the 86. I was like, he's not smaller than Trenton Hydeley by much. He's not smaller than Patrick Downey, who's big at 86 by much. So, yeah, I think the same. And Carter said that. He's like, I look at a weight and I get big. I look at food, I grow. So it feels like he's someone with capacity to get bigger.
Last thing I want to talk about this weight is just it was really interesting hearing from Kyle in his post-match interview, hearing him talk about how if it feels like everyone's wrestling him differently now, ever since his match with Taz Hudinov, who was the young, is he 19 when he beat him?
He's young, but who knows?
The young wrestler.
Dagestani ages.
Dagestani. Asterisk. He wrestles. Where does he wrestle for now? Bahrain.
Mm-hmm.
He teched Kyle, was it 10-0 at Worlds? And the way he did it was Kyle kind of running up into him and him hitting, planting his feet. He's a really long kid, planting his feet, chest locking him, getting those exposure points. And Kyle basically implied that no one wants to actually wrestle him anymore. Everyone just wants to kind of wait for him to shoot and try to chest lock him. So he was talking about how he's had to change his style to deal with that. He was saying how Isaac Trumbull, also kind of a long guy, he could tell that he just kind of wanted Kyle to shoot on him. He was like, it's a little frustrating for me because I want to wrestle like a bull in a china shop. I want to wrestle guys that want to hand fight with me.
Mm-hmm.
And he's kind of realizing that he's having to change his strategy, which is interesting.
You know, but it's for Kyle, you know, if he can get to that you can't in freestyle, they have to either, you know, they have to stay engaged to a degree. So they're going to have to hand fight him to a degree. If he gets into a positional control center, hand fight hard, you know, it's kind of an old school mentality, but get them tired, make it so they have to shoot, and then you can get into your counter offense and get into your scores a little more without entering that danger zone of the chest wraps. But yeah, I mean, I like to hear that Kyle like is taking the what happened at Worlds and, you know, modifying his game plan for sure, because, you know, that Taz Hudinov is going to be a tough challenge, and those finishes are not going to get any easier, because certainly that guy's getting better too.
Yeah.
One thing about the, you know, I was talking about, I referred to, hey, would Aaron Brooks move up to 97 kilograms? And I feel like we hear it a lot with guys where they want to move up, they're considering moving up. But once you have that spot, and you have the spot and you have the bye, that is so tough.
Hard to give up.
It's hard to give it up. I'm in the finals. That is a tough thing to turn your back on. And especially, you can talk yourself into a lot, because think about, okay, Aaron Brooks, we're all hoping and thinking he's going to medal, right? We think he can win, but we think medal is likely, very likely. So boom. All right, let's, for the sake of argument, he's in the finals. So he's in the best two out of three. Now you're just telling yourself, well, I got to make it in June. Mm-hmm. I can make it in June, and then I'll make it in September. And maybe I'll do it. Maybe I'll do some matches in between, but I can make it by June that one time. And by next thing you know, you're just kind of at this weight for a while. I could see that materializing because Kyle's going to medal. You know, it, almost certainly he medals. Yeah. He's literally medaled every year. Time. Every time he's medaled. And I feel like it's going to happen again. So he's going to be sitting out in 97.
Kyle made his third Olympic team, by the way.
Third. He's 28.
The 11th U.S. wrestler to do that.
Yeah.
Not common.
Not common. Yeah. So I think for Aaron, that's going to be tough to pass up.
Yeah.
It's tough. Now, if he doesn't medal, that would be really sad. One and two, then you kind of can reevaluate things. And
you think maybe you see him at 92 next quad?
Aaron?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, maybe. It depends on what David wants to do. And I don't know how much coordination there would be there between those two. But, you know, I had thought and heard that, you know, David would consider a move up to 92.
This year?
Yeah. Well, no.
Not this year.
I mean, David's plan was to make the Olympic team and win it again. And then go up.
Oh, you're saying you heard that before the Olympic
Before trials, like, yeah, make the team, win it, and then go up to 92.
Yeah.
And then come back down to 28. So now, you know, who knows what his plan is going to be. But either way, okay. I think that's all I have on 97.
Speaking of, we talked a little bit about Kyle Snyder's age. Speaking about age, I saw a comment that really hurt my feelings on the Aaron Brooks beating David Taylor post.
I love it.
Said 90s are over.
90s are over?
And I think Aaron Brooks was born in 2000.
Whoa.
They're like implying that it's over the 90s kids. And as someone born in 1998.
You're done, dude.
That really hurts my feelings.
You're done.
It hurt my feelings pretty bad.
It's over. Was David born in the 90s?
David was born in 1990.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Jordan, I think he's with me. He was born in the 80s.
Yeah, he's probably like 88.
Man. Man. Imagine being born in the 80s.
So, fellow 90s kids, we shan't stand for that. I don't know if I'm considered a 90s kid, but I was born in the 90s. All right. Heavyweight.
Big boys. Let's move on.
All Mason Paris.
No heavyweight talk.
Oh, come on, man.
Paris and Paris. It's happening.
It was destiny.
Man, we said it when he medaled. Like, boy, he really set himself up perfectly. I mean, the Gable declining the spot, that was just an unbelievable reversal of fortune for Mason, mm-hmm. and he has made the most of it. He really left no doubt that he's the best guy in America right now.
You cannot convince me. Look, I'm a Michigan guy.
I know what
Michigan
you're about to say.
Glasses.
You cannot. You don't have to say it.
Look, you go back, watch their final X.
Oh, I knew you were going to say it. I told you.
Mason took him down. He was closing the gap. You cannot convince me that it would not have been more competitive with Mason and Gable this year.
We're live.
If you get people in the comments, oh, Gable's son, whatever. I don't know. He showed up.
Now, on the one hand, don't call him Gable's son.
Yeah, don't call him that.
Because Gable's not here.
Yes.
He's not around. He's not competing for this, so you can't say that. This man's an Olympian.
Mm-hmm.
He's a world bronze medalist. Those are not easily obtained.
Yes.
But I can't indulge it. I feel like, and that's nothing about Mason. I just think I think Gable's the greatest heavyweight I've ever watched do it.
Yeah.
And I don't think Mason is.
Mason is about to prove to you that he is the greatest heavyweight you'll ever watch.
All right.
No, I'm really excited for Mason, Paris and Paris. I was on a team with Mason for a couple of years, for people who don't know. So
one of your main drill partners.
That's my boy. One of my main drill, big guy, little guy day.
Yeah. Is that a thing?
It's a thing when Sean wants to pick on a little guy.
Oh.
He goes, big guy, little guy day, and then he'll grab Jack Medley and straitjacket him. And that's basically what big guy, little guy day is.
It just means coach wrestles with Jack.
Yeah.
I want to see Jack Medley and Mason Paris.
Yeah, that's a big guy, little guy day matchup as well.
I feel like that is so little, so big.
It's comical. It doesn't last very long.
No.
But
Jack's just got to put the pace on him.
One thing I want to talk about, like, you come into this tournament, and Kirkfleet has just looked so good all NCAA tournament. He texts Hendrickson at Olympic trials to set up a match with Gwizdowski, and you're just like, man, this guy, if you're a Mason Paris fan, Hendrick or Kirkfleet is the guy you're scared of to maybe prevent him from being the guy to go to Paris.
I totally agree with that.
And then he lost to Gwiz 5-1, and then he lost to Dom Bradley.
Yeah, man, Dom Bradley, shout out to him.
What a beast.
He's a beast. He's a beast out on the mat. Mm-hmm. He just keeps entering tournaments and placing high at all of them.
Yes.
I don't know if he's retired, guys, and I don't know why he would.
Yeah.
His shoes
keep
are
going. Still, yeah.
Just keep entering tournaments.
Yeah.
I
think he's made the national team like every time he's tried to. Yeah. I don't know if that's true or not. I haven't fact checked that, but he's on the national team all the time.
Put it out there. Feels like it. Vibrationally, it feels true. Okay, yeah, I'm with that. Dom Bradley beats backside, you know. We could say
sad boy hours.
Sad boy tax is in play there for sure, but still, you know, awesome performance by Dom. Dom's not sad. Dom's angry. Mm-hmm. He wrestles every match pissed off for greatness.
Mm-hmm.
He's tough. Tough guy. He ran Wyatt Hendrickson back to the runway.
Yeah.
Straight off the mat.
He's off of the mat.
He was looking for a table. No table. He's like, all right, well, the ground will do.
I saw a tweet, or maybe it was a YouTube comment, that it was flattering, really. They said, I wish Flo Wrestling was in charge of the Olympic trials, because if they were, Bradley running Hendrickson off the mat would be all over the internet right now.
It'd be everywhere. Yeah. Feels like a lot of the tournaments not anywhere, but
yeah.
Just in our hearts. I can't even find.
We digress.
I tried to rewatch the if anyone can find it, this is my Ben Askren moment. I don't do this much.
Okay.
But I got on Peacock and I'm looking for Mat 2 Day 2 Session 1, which had like the finals. I can't find it on there. I'm sure it's there. I'm not saying it's not there. Mm-hmm. I can't find it. And if you can find it and you just want to tweet me that link, I would be so thankful, because I wanted to rewatch David Taylor, Aaron Brooks match 1, because everyone's like, oh, he bonked his head. Well, I watched it live and I don't remember that, but I was watching a lot. So I want to watch it again, just for not that reason only. But
send Christian the link, please.
Send me the link if you can find it. It's a little scavenger hunt.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll use this show for my own benefit.
Yep.
Just like Ben has abused us over the years and made Kyle Bracke find links all over the world wide web.
Did you want to talk at all about the Gwiz Kirk match?
No, because I didn't see it.
Okay, yeah, I
think I was watching another match. I think there's a couple.
Gwiz scored late.
Go behinds, maybe.
Gwiz was actually, I want to say Gwiz was losing. Let me check that. Gwiz was winning on criteria. It was two passives. One for Kirkfleet in the first period, one for Gwiz in the second. So he was leading, and then he got a two and another two.
There you go.
Yeah, he got a two with 50 seconds left, and then another two. We went into that thinking if
for sure
Gwiz is crafty, he could definitely take out Hendrickson.
And then Gwiz goes down to Zilmer again. Zilmer just kind of seems to have Gwiz's number. And then it felt like with that matchup, as a Mason Paris fan, which you are, that was probably an ideal scenario. Gwiz, I still think, is a little – he's so crafty. A little scary matchup, especially on rest. Yeah. And then
Zilmer,
he's so much smaller.
You love the guy. He's such an awesome dude.
He is.
But, yeah, he's so much smaller than Mason. It looked like he – Zilmer got really big before his injury, and it looked like he lost a little bit of his size, maybe.
Yeah.
On the opposite end of recovery, and you got to feel like that hurts you when you're wrestling a guy as physical as Mason.
Yes, that's how I felt exactly.
I think we should talk about David Bray. Would be remiss if we did not talk about the backside of 57 kilograms.
Okay.
Because 57 kilograms, Olympic trials.
I don't think you used the word remiss properly there.
He would be remiss?
Yeah, I don't know if that makes sense.
I'm pretty sure I used it.
It might make sense.
Chat.
We would be remiss if we didn't bring it up. But I don't know if David would be remiss.
Remiss. Lacking care or attention to duty. Negligent. It would be very remiss of me to not pass on that.
Yeah, because we would be remiss. But David would not be remiss.
Mm,
yeah.
I hate that happened live.
Clip this moment for a second.
I'm just going to deny it. Okay. We would be remiss if we did not bring up 57 kg backside, because the number one pound for pound high school wrestler was determined at the Olympic trials, which,
as it normally is.
Yeah, you say it, and like, I don't want that to not have the weight that it deserves. The number one pound for pound high school wrestler was determined at the Olympic trials
in a match to make the national team.
Yes,
not some backside. Well, it is backside, but the championship of the backside.
Yes,
when Marcus Blaze took out Luke Lilladahl, Marcus had already beaten Jax Forrest, who was right.
No, so Luke. Marcus Blaze took out Luke in the consolation semis.
No,
not in the consolation semis. It was Dayton Fix who forfeited to him there, but the round before that, he took out Luke Lilladahl 5-1 in the consolation quarters.
I don't think so.
Yes, I'm looking at the bracket.
I know,
right
I
now.
Believe you, but I really thought it was
no.
It was Marcus versus Jax.
Are you really gonna pull a Chael Sonnen on me right now and just be like, "There's no way to know"? I'm looking at the bracket.
I feel you.
I remember it too. I'm younger than you, and I have a better memory than you.
Marcus beat Jax, is what you're telling me,
in the finals.
Yeah,
of the consolation finals.
Okay.
Third.
I thought it was Luke.
No, Marcus beat Luke in the consolation quarters, 5-1.
Okay.
Then got forfeited to from Dayton Fix. Then beat Jax Forrest 8-1 for third.
Yikes.
And which is crazy, because before the Olympic trials, I even asked, I was like, does it make sense for us to allow these cadet age level world medalists into the Olympic trials? I was like, I don't know. They haven't beaten senior level guys. And I was wrong, because LaDarian Lockett, who was a cadet world champ,
yep,
ended up teching Meyer Shapiro, yep, gave Mitchell a pretty tough match. The score didn't show, but it was competitive. And then Marcus Blaze in 57 just makes the national team, yeah, takes out everyone.
What's the worst that can happen? They get tech 10 up.
Yeah, for right? sure.
It's a status to be a cadet world medalist, and I'm glad Marcus was in, and obviously he's got the goods to wrestle at the senior level. He wrestled Suriano tough in defeat there. Jax wrestled Gilman really tough. Lilladahl gave Zane, I think, a pretty competitive match, am I remembering correctly?
5-3.
Yeah. So these guys, man, they're all right there.
Coming into this, it was all talking about Jax Forrest.
Well, you know, that was more of what we saw him do.
Yeah.
And we still, to the point, we hadn't seen Marcus Blaze at the senior level like we had seen Jax and Luke, because both those guys threw their hat in the ring. Mark is like, I'm already qualified, I'm already in.
Mm-hmm.
But we also, while Jack's got a lot of energy, we said 1,000 times, this guy beat Jax, mm-hmm, right? He beat him this year. He's beaten him. They've all beaten each other. They're all right there. So there was no surprise that it was Marcus that emerged there. As it wouldn't have been that surprising had Jax or had Luke Lilladahl. Those three are peers. And
yeah.
But yeah, Marcus, now that the focus turns to Marcus Blaze, his recruiting, I mean, he's the number one guy. He's the number one prospect, and he is being coveted by every school everywhere. Everyone wants to know where he's going. It's unknown at this point, but, you know, this is not going to make a lot of people happy, but I think he's probably going to Penn State. If I had to put my money down, that would be my guess.
Marcus Why?
Blaze is Penn State. I mean, do I have to explain? I mean, like,
I would like.
I don't want to.
Some explaining.
I don't want to cut a promo here, but Penn State.
Have you heard things? I think. I mean, yeah, I've heard. You don't things. Have to give a
yeah, yeah,
for
yeah.
Penn State, but have you heard things?
Yeah, I've heard. I've heard things for sure. But
what
I've heard.
Have you heard?
I've heard things going to go to Penn State. For what? He likes Penn State, and you know, I think lineup wise is the one thing you could say. Well, hey, how does he fit? I don't know. First of all, they've got a year gap between he and Luke. Second of all, who knows how he's going to grow? He's a pretty tall kid. These things have a way of working themselves out. So I don't think lineup synergy is an impediment for Marcus. I think he feels, I mean, do you think Marcus is intimidated that Luke Lilladahl and Braden Davis are there?
No.
Okay. Do you think he probably feels that Penn State is the best room to train in based probably. On track record and results? Okay.
But The way I will argue is Penn State is probably, yes, the best all-around room to train in. You want to talk about like a lightweight room to train in? Maybe Iowa. Maybe. Yeah. I mean, that's never been floated in the conversation with him, but or I don't know if it has or not. But the two schools I keep hearing when it comes to Marcus Blaise are Penn State and Ohio State.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. I know Ohio State's. I mean, he's an Ohio kid. I think he would do great. I think he's – listen, and that's another thing. Like, someone like Marcus is going to have success wherever he goes, right? There's no doubt he's going to be elite. He's elite now. So you don't – he's going to be that collegially. He would be elite at Ohio State. He'd be elite at
– I also know he was training at Michigan's RTC all summer. Just saying.
I'm just saying.
I want to throw them in the conversation.
I'm not ruling anyone out.
I want to throw them in.
Toss them in. I'm giving
but I don't know.
Opinion. I'm not breaking news.
Yeah.
Just my read on the situation. We'll see where he winds up. But yeah, Iowa for sure would be, you know, they should be all over this kid.
One thing that we talked about, like, with some of these kids, like, what? When will we see a kid just not go to college and just focus on his freestyle career?
I don't know why you would do that.
Why?
Because
you're a high schooler. You just made the Olympic national team.
Because winning an NCAA title is as much of a status in America as anything.
Yeah, but I don't know if kids...
Also, financially.
Yeah, that's the argument.
Okay, one, education. Two, I mean, when Henry did it, there was no money in anything. There was no money, you know.
See, I'm with you. NIL is like the only thing preventing me from like thinking that's a good advice. But like, dude, you talk about status. These kids don't care. The kids that are really motivated by success don't care about the status of an NCAA title. They want a world championship. They want Olympic championship. I think you talk to Marcus Blaise, what he would rather be, he would care way more about being an Olympic champ than an NCAA champ.
The experience of being on a college wrestling team and all that comes with that is just, it's incredible. And
you can not just go to an RTC and train freestyle be around all the college kids.
A team. Mm-hmm. Not just showing up for practice. But weren't you on Michigan?
Yeah, I loved it. It was awesome.
Yeah. Would you trade those years for just,
no.
just okay. And
I'm just
hold on. And that's not, and that was your experience. You got to start for a year. Imagine
being Marcus Blaise.
Marcus Blaise. Yeah. You're going to be a rock star. Like, what, you want to go and wrestle in Ukraine in front of 19 people in November? Or do you want to wrestle for the most? I mean, because that's fun too. Mm-hmm. Wrestling in the Big Ten in these big crowds, wrestling in an enemy or a home Carver Hawkeye Arena, wrestling in Rec Hall, wrestling at the Covelli Center. Wrestling in the NCAA tournament. There's no atmosphere like it. It's an incredible accomplishment. It is the American championship for our sport of wrestling. Mm-hmm. And there is nothing like it. And I do not see that because training NCAA does not come at the detriment of your freestyle success. I don't believe that. I don't believe we've seen that.
I think that I just watched Marcus
Blaise, who trains with high schoolers mm-hmm. and wrestles in dual meets against Lord knows who. I just watched that guy walk into a senior level tournament and outplace world medalists, world teamers, NCAA champions. If you want to talk about a detrimental training situation, it would be that, right? A little high school room. Imagine when you go to Penn State or Iowa and you're wrestling with Spencer Lee, or you go to Ohio State, you're wrestling with Jesse Mendez, or you go to Penn State and you're grabbing Gilman and Roman Bravo Young. You're going to get better. You're going to be ready. Look what Aaron Brooks just did. All this is available, and I don't think it's in spite of. I think you could say I don't want to get into the style, folk style versus freestyle debate. The bottom line is the cream rises to the top. Many of our best guys have made their teams right out of college or in college, and I don't think it's detrimental. And
I'm just saying, I'm not saying should or shouldn't they. I'm saying, when do you see it?
I don't see it. And that's why I don't think we're
the only reason I bring it up with a guy like Marcus Blaise is because he's a guy who it's obvious that he doesn't like crave the attention. He seems like someone who only cares about the success.
Yeah. Success.
I'm just saying, I think you're going to see
college
I think it's going to happen eventually. Look, all these kids are having such crazy freestyle success so early. At what point do you just put all your focus on that? I think it's going to happen.
But all
I think
that,
and
wrestling.
I think it would have happened faster had it not been for NIL. I think NIL is what is like.
So why didn't it happen before? Hold on, NIL is very.
No, but I'm saying it didn't happen before because the kids are getting better now. Earlier, I think you're going to see. I think if it wasn't for NIL, like your Jax Forces, your Marcus Blazes, like you maybe see them just go full time freestyle.
Spencer Lee, Logan Stieber, Nick Soriano, Dayton Fix, all those guys were on the level.
Okay.
Out of high school.
Okay.
And they all said no. I mean, I don't even think it was a thought. I don't think it was a thought. And I really, it maybe it'll happen. Maybe. But I think it would be related to, if I had to guess, that kids' willingness to just even do college.
Yeah.
Like, is there a grades issue? Is there something like that? I don't think any kid that can get into the best schools, the best wrestling schools in America is going to pass up on that so they can just focus on freestyle. That's just what I believe.
Yeah.
And we'll see.
You know what?
The best part is we'll find out who's right and who's wrong.
I might agree with you. Sometimes it's just fun to play devil's advocate.
Okay. Satan.
Just start conversation.
That makes you the devil in this scenario.
We do have 8 minutes until Johnny Julius joins.
Do you
want
to get to pull some questions up?
Let's pull some questions.
Andy Hamilton had a question about belted Galloway.
Oh my goodness.
And we also had a video. Josh, I don't know if that video is available. But maybe a story before the video. But Josh, you let me know if the video is available and I'll tell the story beforehand.
We'll go ahead and
okay,
start telling the story.
So what happened was I'm on it. Relax. So we stayed in beautiful Bellefonte, Pennsylvania, hometown of legendary Mitchell Port and many other wrestlers, I'm sure. You're truly in wrestling country. We go in this place, and in the room in which I slumbered, mm-hmm. there was a Penn State wrestling poster in there. So, mm-hmm. it, you know, felt right at home, you know, a wrestling person. But then I hear all this grumbling, complaining from the Gen Zers about, oh, someone might stay. And I didn't understand.
Someone might what?
Be staying here, you know? That was a concern.
No, it wasn't grumbling, complaining. It was, Christian, you booked a shared Airbnb. How could you have made that mess up?
Well, it wasn't shared.
The owner of the house could have been there.
He was.
It was well within his right.
So
it says shared bathroom on the listing.
We had a great place. And there's it's literally on a farm in Bellefonte, Pennsylvania. And there's these cows there. And these cows are black and they have a little white stripe, almost look like a Penn State singlet.
Mm-hmm.
And Tyler, who resented these cattle and all that they bring to America,
listen.
Said, "Do they shave their bellies?" So let's cut to the video.
From far away, it's not that crazy.
We'll cut to the video.
What video?
You decide. Does this look like a shaved animal? Check it out.
I don't know if we are pulling up the video.
Way, we wouldn't be anywhere near you.
Oh.
He hates you. He resents your way of life.
I hear the video.
I hear it. I don't see it.
So he can. Oh, no. He's got a lot to learn.
I don't know if you saw the video.
I think they saw the video.
Okay, they saw the video. I don't know. I didn't see the video. But anyways, it's me in front of a beautiful belted Galloway cow, which mm-hmm. we learned a lot about in both that week and in the weeks leading up. There he is.
They saw the video, yeah.
A little delay. So you saw it. That's a nice cow.
From far away, it looks like maybe they...
He thought Mike... Our Airbnb owner just went out and
have you ever seen a cow that looked like that in your life? I am just now learning about belted Galloways.
I'm just now learning.
I'm not a livestock expert.
Oh wow. I was curious.
I was raised in SoCal, bro.
Yeah, we know. So Andy Hamilton wants to know if the belted Galloway is the official cow of Flow Wrestling Radio Live. And I think that it should be.
Sure. Yeah.
If only because...
Dude, I didn't know we needed an official cow, but...
Well, I didn't either, but Andy raised a great question. He's an award-winning journalist, unlike us.
Okay.
Actually, just me. I think you are. I think you won an award. Did you win something from Stalemates?
Or nominated, maybe.
Nominated. Ouch. Yeah, that's got to sting. Yeah, you're not. No.
We won a...
Not Stalemates.
We got nominated for Associated you. Press something.
Okay. Oh, it's playing again.
He resents your way of life.
I hear it, Josh.
That's why we bring him to you.
But yeah, I don't know if they can see the video again. But yeah, I thought it looked like they shaved it. Maybe it was too hot or something.
Hey, Josh, I don't know if you can tell, but the videos keep playing in our ear. So I don't know.
That's why we bring him to you.
Why'd they shave their bellies like
so he can.
I don't know what's going on.
Anyways, moving on. Other questions.
Okay.
Let's see.
Oh, good.
More matches wrestled from here forward, Pat Downey freestyle or AJ Ferrari folk style?
That's a great question. I'm going to go... So AJ folk style.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have to go Pat.
Pat freestyle.
Yeah.
You think he goes to World Team Trials?
I think this was an inspirational performance by him. I mean, you don't think
he'll roll up to 92 kg smoking a backwood?
That happened. That happened. No, absolutely he could.
Man.
He could put it out right before he gets to the mat, depending on the smoking rules in the venue.
Mm-hmm. If it's in Vegas.
If it's in Vegas.
Game over.
He can take a puff between periods.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, it seems to me AJ wrestling folk style again, which would mean collegiately,
mm-hmm.
that seems like a long shot at this point. I haven't heard anything since the soldier salute. I guess we could call it a situation,
mm-hmm.
a meltdown,
yeah,
self-destruction,
yeah,
whatever you want to call it. It happened in front of the wrestling world, and mm-hmm. he was going to be on Iowa. That was happening, and mm-hmm. It didn't happen. So does Iowa re-kick the tires with AJ?
Hold on.
Glacier's back. Okay.
Sorry, not to interrupt you, but we do have 3 minutes before Julius joins us, and we did not talk about Wyatt Hendrickson is in the portal.
Yes, he is. The great American hero, Wyatt Hendrickson, is in the portal.
Now, Wyatt Hendrickson, not a very high-risk transfer to try to get on your team. This guy, even if he loses topside, will score your team 20 points.
He's going to score 20 because he just loves pinning these big boys. He picks them up, he puts them down, puts them on their back.
Where do you think Wyatt goes?
I don't know. I think he looks at, I think Michigan's on him. I think Oklahoma State's on him. I think Missouri's on him. Everyone should be. But these are the team names that keep fluttering up. I mean, should Iowa take a look? Yeah. I think they definitely.
Why wouldn't they?
I don't know. Ben Keeter?
Yeah.
But man, there's 20 points. Bang.
Mm-hmm.
Right there. Think of what impact that would have had on a team this year.
Mm-hmm.
And he's across the board who you want on your team. He's the right guy, the right temperament, the right everything.
Yeah.
There's a lot of, you know, and who knows, with half of these numbers are fake.
Yeah.
Most of these coaches are just seeing ghosts out there.
Yeah.
I don't want to re-kick that up. But who knows with these numbers. But if there was a guy that you want to throw a bag for a year,
it should be Wyatt Hendrickson.
This is the safest money you can bet. You got guys that get, you know, place seventh at NCAAs and score 8 points, and they're getting rumor mill,
yeah,
substantial money. Well, I'm not saying they shouldn't get that, but if the exchange rate is that, then Wyatt should be getting.
He's worth a champion's points.
He's worth a champion's points.
Even if he doesn't win it,
yeah,
he'll score you those points.
He can, yeah, get him his own fighter jet. Why not? He's going to need it eventually.
Yeah,
yeah, that's kind of my thought. Man, great. There were hoops to jump through for Wyatt. This is not your normal transfer portal thing. And just so you know, it's not about leaving the Air Force Academy. If he had another year and he could do it Air Force, he would. He literally can't. It's like the Ivies with these service academies. You're capped there. And then he had to get special governmental commander permission to do this. Tyler should be thankful. You know, he doesn't have permission from a commander to do all your antics. He just impulsively, he wakes up when he wants. He just, yeah, I'll upload the video. I won't do the video, you know? Who knows? I'll do the show, not do the show.
I love how you're pretending like you're not a dictatorial commander at Flow.
Is dictatorial the word?
I don't know.
You might have two whips.
Am I going to remove some letters there?
Maybe dictatorial. Okay, so Wyatt, we'll see where he goes. I don't imagine it'll be a super long process because the conversation should be short. It's like, Wyatt has an idea of where he's looking. I think he said he has a list of 5 or 6 schools. And so
he's listed as do not contact.
Do not call him. You should contact him right now. Like, Wyatt, I know. No, you want privacy at this time.
Look, man, I said don't contact.
Yeah, leave me alone. Okay. Well, hey, Johnny DeJulius is here.
Mm-hmm.
This guy is a bit of a rebel rouser.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I see him on Twitter. And look at him, graffiti in the background. He's just a bad boy. Johnny DeJulius.
What's happening?
He's jumping off of cliffs and towers, and I've long counseled you, Johnny, that I don't want to see you do this anymore. But every time I get on Instagram, You're in a flying fox suit going through the caverns. It's all very nerve-wracking for me as just a person who's nervous by temperament. So I'm glad to see you're alive, you're well, you're smiling. How are you, Johnny?
I'm good, I'm good. I just want to start off by saying Dylan Palacio would absolutely maul Ben Askren.
Oh my gosh.
All right, so.
You got to say that when Ben's not even on the show.
He would absolutely maul Ben Askren. I'm not talking like, you know, just a little, you know, spar roll around. For a Bitcoin, outside the Bitcoin conference, I'm going Tenno Palacio 10 out of 10 times.
Wow. So Johnny has long said that he does not do drugs, but now I feel like this is considerable evidence to the contrary. You have to be on some sort of hallucinogenic, psychedelic, some sort of...
Pure adrenaline.
Yeah.
Or just... You might just operate on vibes. But that is an insane take, and you are setting quite the tone here, because... He would massacre Dylan. Did you watch the Pan Ams? Did you watch the Pan Ams?
Yeah, listen, Dylan, he stayed up late that night. He was tired.
He flew in that morning.
For Ben, it's truly a hands-on sight situation. You realize that, right?
I know. No,
so Ben's Dylan gone. Will have to Ben's hide.
Like, he was like messaging me. He was like, you know, I beat Dylan, right? And I'm like, Ben. You're a Hodge Trophy winner. I know you're good at wrestling.
It literally drove him nuts that Dylan.
Oh, it got to him for sure.
It got to
him. You know, I wish I. I don't know if you were on the last time I was on one of the Flow podcasts, but I had Reese Humphrey and Bryce just come out of nowhere and they were just ripping a beer bong. I don't know if you remember that.
Oh my gosh.
But I was supposed to be in Puerto Rico this week, and if Ben was on the podcast, I would have been with Jake, and that would have been wild.
Oh my gosh. How do you know all these people? Johnny, can you explain your life to me real quick? Because I was like, hey, a guy wrestled in Ohio, a really good wrestler for Ohio State. And then, you know, most times that chapter is like, oh, then you're a coach or you're senior level. It's like, for Johnny, you took a unique path to whatever it is that you do. Can you explain that to me?
Yeah, I didn't want to be cookie cutter wrestling guy. Yeah. You know what I mean? Just, I feel like... It's good to have life outside wrestling, you know, and I think that's important for kids to hear. I think it's important for people in college to hear. I know we have this awesome quote, wrestling is life, right? I know wrestling is life. You get a lot of life lessons through wrestling, but also there's a lot of life after wrestling too. And my identity was like in wrestling, like full on. So when I didn't win the nationals or when I didn't have the results that I wanted to have and my career was done, I kind of like struggled for a while. I was like, I don't know what the heck I'm doing. What do I put in my Twitter bio now? I can't put wrestler anymore. Like, I didn't really know what my identity was. So I think just I found things that I'm passionate about. And those things happen to be sometimes a little scary, sometimes a little reckless.
Yeah, but how do you know Jake Paul?
What? So he actually came to a wrestling camp at Ohio State. I was like a sophomore, and he was only like 14 or 15. So I'm like 5 years older than him. And he shows up at Ohio State. And this like little, you know, at the time, punk, right? Great guy now. At the time, this little punk was like, dude, let's take me out on campus. And I'm like, okay, whatever. And I'm just taking him around campus as this camper. And then we just stayed tight. He ended up, you know, blowing up on Vine. And then that transferred to YouTube. And now, you know, my parachute, I don't know if you ever seen my parachute. It has his logo on it. So, you know, I'm, you know, work with him a lot on some video stuff and just, you know, some fun.
Is he actually cool? He doesn't seem cool to me.
Stop it. Don't talk about my boy like that.
I'm just saying. I would want to hang out with him, I would hang out with you, Johnny.
Johnny.
He leans into the hate thing, but he's like in person. He doesn't talk. Like, I know he talks a lot on like on videos. He doesn't talk that much. He's like super, you know, reserved, nice, normal in person. So completely 180. Just, you know, it's how it is. You know, you got to make your money.
Okay. Well, it's working, I guess.
How are you though, CP? How's my guy?
I'm so good.
Why do you think that there's no correlation to wrestling freestyle your entire life and then wrestling freestyle in the senior level? You think that NCAA helps? Why does it? It might have some pros, but you think it's better than just wrestling freestyle your whole life? What are you talking about? I don't do drugs, but you're smoking rocks.
Yes,
I do.
I completely agree.
I do smoke crack rocks. But that has nothing to do with it. No, I just don't see the evidence for it. I think we're the dominant superpower in wrestling. I think these guys are wrestling year-round.
Yeah, but is there the correlation doesn't equal causality, right?
Mm-hmm.
So our correlation
Ohio State.
We're having really good success. We're having really good success right now with freestyle. It must be because NCAA. That's not necessarily true. We might be having success freestyle-wise because we're good at wrestling, right? And we might be better had we done freestyle longer or had we done freestyle in college. Now, I like folk style, so that's a whole other topic. Mm-hmm. Should we change? Should we not? I'm just saying, if we had freestyle in college and then folk style for senior level, nobody would make the same argument. Not a single person. So why is it an argument from Flip?
So here's what I'll say. These kids are now wrestling year-round. And you know, Johnny, they say variety is the spice of life.
Oh, my gosh.
And
stop it.
Listen, these kids are training freestyle their entire careers, right? They're getting plenty of freestyle experience. The incentives for these high school kids, the number one thing you can do is make the cadet world team. Maybe it's winning Super 32 or winning. That's like the number one status as a wrestler. As a high school wrestler. So as long as that's what their eyes are on. And that's a total flip probably from when you were, even when you were coming up, not that you're old, but like, it was all about like Iron Man, especially for you, Iron Man, your state.
Iron Man, the state title was the two.
Yeah.
Fargo.
Iron Man, state title, Fargo. So now
Super 32 wasn't even like huge. Like it was big, but it wasn't like this illustrious, oh, you won Super 32. You're going to any college you want. It wasn't like that.
100%. So, and that's, you know, that's super recent. So it's only been really USA Wrestling had an increased focus. They brought back the cadet junior world teams. They made those really important statuses. They invested around the coaching and the tours and the trips and on and on and on. And that became the status. That became the thing you wanted to win. And with those incentives came a high focus on freestyle wrestling that we hadn't seen. And I believe that's part, mm-hmm. I believe that training and the focus of freestyle is, so I'm not saying
you agree with us.
So I partially am agreeing with you.
Don't you think that?
Well, I don't know.
You think you don't know anything?
Yeah, I think that all the time.
Don't you think that our success in freestyle is despite folk style?
No, not because of it. There's so much that's complimentary, and these Russians are stealing from us, bro. They're stealing a lot of our scrambles, a lot of our cradle stuff. Where do you think all that came from? Dagestan?
Okay.
You see that? Are you seeing Taz?
I just love that quote. These Russians are stealing from us, bro.
They are. You see these roll through cradles? They look like David Taylor, Ed Ruth out there. They're as they should. They should. But we're raising the bar in a lot of ways as well.
There's definitely pros. There's pros that folk style has for freestyle, right?
Yeah.
Like our season being so, you know, grueling for NCAA. Them being able to wrestle multiple weekends in a row, mm-hmm. you know, where they're going, you know, from the wrestling Iowa one weekend, then they got Penn State the next weekend, then they got Okie State the next weekend, then the Southern Scuffle. And they're just, you know, they're used to that grind. So that grind really pays off, as you can see that a lot with like how we wrestle at the world championships. Remember Yanni versus, what was it, Musakayev or one of those guys at I forget what tournament it was.
Mm-hmm.
It was just like that kind of style bodes well for America, right? Mm-hmm. So if we can keep that style of in your face, I'm going to break you, while also sprinkling on the technique of freestyle year round, I do think that pays off. So I actually agree with Tyler about guys are not going to go to college eventually, right? They're going to do the Cejudo route. I think that will be a thing. So status matters, but there's nothing more illustrious and status-wise than a world and Olympic title. Nothing. Right? In the sport of wrestling, maybe outside of the sport of wrestling for people that don't follow wrestling. Sure. A state title and a national title are really cool. You get a lot of, you know, you get a lot of juice from that, but I don't see anything in, if you're a purist, like a pure wrestling person, nothing's bigger than making a world team. Making a national team to me is more illustrious than all American.
I think you're correlating difficulty with what's actually like. Obviously, making a national team is not highly valued. Harder is not, does not mean illustrious. There's a degree of difficulty.
Hmm? Yeah. As a wrestling purist, though, like if you are just, I don't care about the status. I don't care about the followers on Instagram. I don't care about the, which I do. I don't care about the, you know.
So well, that's the thing. So I agree with you on the wrestling purist front, but I'm interested in your takes on just how to make wrestling more mainstream. And like you talk a lot about how to appeal wrestling, how to make wrestling more appealing to outsiders. And so I think that if you're talking about just like the regular average fan, I think Olympics might be ahead of NCAA title, but I think that a lot of people in the United States care more about like being a national champion almost means more to them than being like a world champion. Like everyone pays attention to the Olympics, but a lot of people just like skip world's years and stuff. So I think that there is a lot to be said for what it means to be an NCAA champion in the United States. If you're talking wrestling purists, of course, I think me and Christian both agree with you on like what,
yeah, it's
difficult.
It's harder to win the Olympics. There's no debating that. It's harder to win the world championships, but more people care about an NCAA title.
No, I agree. More people care about it. Actually, I know this is kind of off topic, but before I forget and we get like too sidetracked, I do want to talk about, I was watching your show before I came on for like the past 30 minutes. And I want to talk about one thing that kind of like made me think of this. So you guys are talking about Marcus Blaise. You're talking about what his routes are going to be. Maybe he goes to Penn State. Hopefully he goes to Ohio State. Then you said something about, you know, you're going to get better in a room compared to like a high school room when you have guys every single day that you're wrestling, that, you know, you're going with RBY, you're going with, you know, college guys, right? You're just going with good guys. I think that's true for most people, but I do think there is a talking point to be had about kids that need to feel confidence. Like oftentimes when you train with people too much that are really, really good, right, you almost plateau a little bit because you start to care about winning in the room so much. So because you care about winning so much in the room, you're not going to like try new things. Oh, I'm not going to go out there and try this new thing that I should be working on today, but I don't want to lose to this guy today because I'll be upset if I go home. And you almost plateau a lot. So I've seen a lot of kids who went to like a Big Ten school, and this isn't Marcus Blaise at all. I'm just talking out loud about broadly, other kids that maybe are getting recruited. I think there's a lot of kids out there that ended up at a Big Ten school that were really good in college. I'm sorry, really good in high school. And because the room was so good and they almost became like overly competitive in their own head and they had like, you know, mental case issues, they almost shot themselves in the foot a little bit than if they went to maybe a lesser school that was, I don't want to say the MAC is less than the Big Ten, but there's some schools in the MAC where their rooms are not as tough, right? This is the facts. And I wonder if they would have been better in those rooms because they would have more confidence. They would have opened up a lot more. Like you said, Marcus Blaise is going to be good wherever he goes, right? Partner or not, he's going to be good wherever he goes. He's going to shine. So there's a lot of kids like that that almost need three things, right? You need someone that'll beat your butt every single day in the room that, you know, just kind of humbles you. You need somebody that you'll compete with where if I'm feeling okay, you know, they'll get me. But if I'm feeling really good, I'll get them. And then you need somebody who you could just kick their butt. You don't need to go with somebody every day that whoops you. You know what I mean? I don't think that's a recipe for getting good. But I was just thinking about that when you guys were talking about.
I totally agree with that, Johnny. Mm-hmm. I don't disagree at all. I think variety in training partners is essential. I see it.
The spice of life.
I see it. It all comes back to that. All comes back to spices. No, I see it in youth practices. Like, okay,
for
sometimes
sure.
They need to be tested. Sometimes, like, this kid needs a day where he's does well. This kid needs that.
He's looking like Satya out there. He's hitting moves.
Yeah, exactly. He needs
that. That's what he needs.
This guy just went 0-2 at a tournament. It would be good for him to pair with this guy today. I see that. So for sure,
I completely agree. Sorry to cut you off. These dads are like, no, my son needs to go with, he needs to have 1,000 matches a year, and he needs to go with every tough kid in the room right now. He doesn't get a break. And it's like, dude, shut up. Yeah. Like, you don't know what you're talking about.
100%.
He doesn't even need to go live right now, is my opinion. He doesn't, like, it's okay.
And I think we're experiencing like a Ben Askren led renaissance in youth wrestling. Almost.
I do too. Or, I think there's,
why, I mean, what's his club like?
I think it's very forward thinking. I think super positive atmosphere, very just, it's very growth mindset. It's all about you know, getting better. It's not about,
they don't focus on competing too much.
Yeah, especially early on, competition's definitely reduced to the point that I know for a fact there are guys that are there now that wouldn't go there earlier because They didn't grind them harder. They didn't have a national competition schedule in the elementary year. And they didn't have guys then, but now everyone's seeing what they're doing and they want to go there. And I don't think it's just Ben. You know, I think, you know, you got M2's doing great. You got Young Guns and Jody Stripmatter. You know,
I'm doing a clinic at Young Guns. I'm excited in June. I'm super stoked to get out there. I feel like you have a sixth grader that's going to like whoop my butt though. They're nasty.
I think you could be all right. Johnny, you have such incredible tricks that there's no way on a first crack one of these guys can get you.
As I always say, I'll get somebody first time, no matter what. I got that first match, you know, it's a weird feel.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
Be careful with Bo Bassett.
Yeah. If it's a kid dressed up, if he says he's been practicing since 4 a.m., maybe don't go. Don't go with that guy.
Yeah, if he's like, yo, machine gun mindset, I'm like, what is that? What? I'm trying to just spar.
Yeah.
So I just want to let you guys know we have 14 minutes left of the show. Johnny. Okay.
We got plenty of time.
I just want to make sure that we get to all the things that you guys want to talk about.
Okay. Well, you know, Johnny, what do you want to talk about, Johnny? I'll let you drive.
I want to talk about what you were saying yesterday. What are you talking about?
Yeah. What did I say yesterday? Was I recorded?
Varieties of spice. You were getting spicy, all right? Let me tell you. You thought that was a good setup at the Olympic Trials?
Well, no,
You thought it was a fun fan experience.
I didn't say that.
What did you say? Well, you said something about...
I liked it at Penn State.
I'm paraphrasing. You guys were talking about
the Olympic Trials yesterday.
What'd you say?
I said I liked it at Penn State, and I thought they had some cool stuff around in the area. Like the fan fest was all right there. Listen... I didn't say the schedule was great. No, did not say that.
I fell asleep.
Yeah, well, what were you doing the night before, Johnny?
Finals ever, and it's not because of wrestling. It's not because of the wrestling.
Okay, well,
that was so long.
Oh, that I agree with that. I said as much. That was way too long. They need to bust it up. They need to change the schedule. I completely agree with that. What didn't you like about it?
I didn't think one mat was necessary. I thought multiple mats would have been okay.
Yeah, for the finals?
Two would have been fine. For the finals, yeah. Two mats would have been fine. And then, I don't know, like I thought it was weird as an athlete. Like, some of these guys were wrestling at, like, 11 o'clock at night. Also, fan-wise, it was like we didn't know when and who was wrestling when. Like, oh, Lee and Zayn are wrestling both matches first session. Like, it was just very, like... all up in the air. Didn't really know what was going on. I didn't know that the first match for the weights that qualified were the first session, and then the next one was going to be at the nighttime session. Like, it was all over the place. And
Chael Sonnen called Christian to verify. He's like, yo, what happened to the rest of the matches?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it was like fans didn't know. That's a thing, and this is a whole other topic again. You guys are just going to have me on again. Let's just go. Talking crap. Okay. But the way we promote wrestling, like, I will give you guys credit, Final X does a really good job. The way we promote wrestling as a whole, though, is we don't market it well. I don't know who's wrestling who. And then I also, like, nothing is in advance, like zero. And a tournament is hard. I get it. But if I don't know when a match is taking place and I don't know if it's in the morning or the evening, it's hard for me to get excited for it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And this happens at the Midlands, the Southern Scuffle, all these different tournaments. And usually you don't know matchups until the day of because the bracket doesn't come out till then. And it's a mess sometimes.
Yeah.
And we just don't market it great. And I don't think that this was one of those tournaments where I was, you know, I was more excited for the first two rounds. Blaze and Suriano was sick. You know, Dayton and Suriano. Who did Gilman have first round? He had somebody
good.
Yanni, and who's the high school kid? He had Larkin. Yeah. Like, these matches I was super excited for. But then as the day went on, I almost like lost a little bit of like excitement for some of these matches. And I don't know, it was like the tournament dragging on a little bit. I don't know if you guys felt that too.
Yeah, I totally feel it. And I totally agree with you. And we, you know, we did everything we could to get the word out, but really it's, you know, it's on, they got to do a better job of marketing their product.
I'm not.
I know. So what I'll say is, you know, one thing, the advantage of Final X is the matchups, the time is known, and it's known weeks in advance, and you don't have that with this. And the days don't have to drag on as late when you don't have to make all that happen in a two-day span. That's a lot. 18, you're determining 18 spots in 2 days, and they went, you know, kind of breakneck speed for two straight days to get it all in. And it was two late nights, and I think that's a lot to ask of fans. And Our sport
and to cut weight too.
Yeah, just not even thinking about the athletes. The athletes are sort of like the secondary thought here. You know, got guys cutting weight till 2 a.m. But then, you know, it's not, you're not going to have maximum viewership if no one knows who's wrestling when. And it was confusing having the first two rounds of the non-qualified. Not just did it not make sense to have Spencer Lee done in the morning session and two Penn State guys done in the morning session. It just doesn't make – there's no real rhyme or reason to it. It's just like something they decided. Nope. So they got to get the finals off of the challenge tournament. I think if you have that, then I think you have the best of both worlds. But trying to fit it all in 2 days is really tough.
My read on the whole NBC situation is they don't – like wrestling is just a small viewership sport that is part of this big package that they bought.
Yeah.
And it's just not – probably not worth it to them – money wise to put in any more effort covering it than the bare minimum that they already do. And so I think if we wanted things to change, we have to change that.
Yeah. And you do that with in USA and USO. And I don't know. And I say this and I'm not knowing who the decision makers are. NBC may be like, no, it needs to be these 2 days. You need to pick your team by this date. But if the USA Wrestling and USOPC has any say, they should want to split it up to give NBC a better product to market. Mm-hmm. Be like, these are the matchups. We can give you all these storylines. Because right now, NBC is probably going to USA Wrestling, be like, all right, what are the storylines we should, you know, focus in on? It's like, well, probably this, but who's he wrestling? Well, we don't know. but probably this guy will win. And so now you can say, all right, hey, you got 2 weeks, and these are the matchups. This is going to happen. David Taylor and Aaron Brooks are training partners and teammates. Spencer Lee and Thomas Gilman, all the heat there from Penn State, Iowa, that fracture, whatever. And then you've got a lot to work with. Adeline and Kennedy, the changing of the guard, this young hammer and Adeline and everything that she's done. So,
how about that high school girl that wrestled with Hildebrand?
Audrey,
she's sick.
She's savage. She's savage. Sick. Yeah. She's really, really good, and which puts Sarah in perspective even further. So, yeah, there's a lot to work with. Wrestling does give you a lot to work with, like on dual meets for wrestling. There's a lot to work with there. There's a lot that makes sense for TV. There's a lot that makes sense for a 2 out of 3 as well. But
there's more that makes sense for a 2 out of 3 and dual meets than there is tournaments for TV, for sure.
For sure.
And I also think, like, you know, everybody else tells me wrestling is a niche sport, like on Twitter. I just talk crap on Twitter, right? I just go at people. And these people are probably really nice people, but I'm always just going at them. And I'm like, you know, you're stupid. Da, da, da. And everybody says, oh, wrestling is a niche sport. Stop trying to make it, you know, mainstream. And it's not for casuals. I disagree. When you're a kid, what are you doing in your living room? You're wrestling with your buddies. You know what I mean? And when someone gets drunk, your buddy gets drunk at night, what's he trying to do? And he's never wrestled a day in his life. He starts grabbing it. He starts trying to wrestle. You guys are at the beach. People are wrestling. Wrestling is like innate. So if it was, you know, shown the right way, people will buy in. Yeah. It's a cool sport. It's really cool. You know what I mean? Whether it's freestyle or folk style, it's a cool sport. It's picking people up and putting them back down. It's freaking sick. Yeah. So I don't think it's a niche sport. I don't think it's a casual sport. I do think it's a casual sport. And there is room for casuals if it was shown the right way. The same way I'm going to watch, you know, the PGA and I don't care about golf, right? Because I care about the storylines. People would do that for wrestling, you know, if it grew to that point.
Hey, I just wanted real quick, Josh Skernick, our producer.
You're going to give us the time and tell us to hurry up. I know.
No. He wants to call in to show and provide some insight on like the cost of what it would take to like have 2 weekends. So he wants to get his voice in here and just
all right
quickly talk Ooh. About
our producer.
Yeah, the production costs, crew and gear. He says you completely lose the economies of scale. Josh, you there?
Josh, are you there?
Oh, he said it's impossible for him to actually talk into the show. So forget it. We'll do that another day.
Yeah, but this is a man who knows.
Wait, CP. So you guys, you know, first of all. Anybody wondering, Tom, fortunately, is, you know, nothing is serious. He broke his leg, but he's okay.
Yeah.
However, talking about Tom, you guys were kind of arguing a little bit on Twitter about the setup and someone sitting in the final. So can you tell me why that is you find that agenda driven to not want someone to sit in the finals?
I think every time I start seeing the tweets about it, it's like, okay, He's saying this right now in this moment because this wrestler
usually off a loss. Okay.
Yeah, that's the agenda. And when their guys are in it and they're getting the advantage of it, mum's the word always. And Ohio State, Penn State, they've all been beneficiaries of it. Kyle Dake hated it. Talk openly about it. It's mum's the word once you're sitting out. Okay, so it is agenda driven. It's not a negative. It's just the reality of it. So that's their agenda. They want their person on the team, and the current situation that they find themselves in, or their athlete in, it's disadvantageous. It's not good that Jesse Mendez had to wrestle McKenna, Green, Yanni, and Zane Rutherford. That's not good. That's really tough. And I think there are some changes that you can make with the bracketing.
Damn, he went through everybody. He's sick.
Insane, right?
He's so sick. Almost, right, bro?
He's insane. So, but my bottom line here is this is a team, and the team has a leader, and the leader is trying to put their best team on the mat so that they can win what matters most, which is the World and Olympic Games.
World Championship.
And just like, you know, you were on some of these teams, when Ian Paddock beat Hunter Stieber in the wrestle-off, Tom Ryan did not start Ian Paddock that year. Because why? Because we had a year of data. He beat Kellen Russell. He beat Montel Marin. He was a true freshman All-American. You know for a fact, if Ian Paddock wins that and other wrestle-offs, he ain't getting – it's going to take a much higher bar than beating Hunter Stieber at the Buffalo Open to start. And why? Because of what Hunter did. He beat Kellen. He beat Montel. He was a true freshman All-American. He's in the semis. Hunter Stieber was sick, and you know it, and Tom knew it, and he knew what he had. And just because a guy could get it one time, there's a higher bar when you're proven. And those guys are proven, and they're proven at the toughest tournaments. And so you got to make that bar high, because we don't have a season where you can figure it all out. We have guys that wrestle once or twice a year. Is that ideal? No. Do I wish it was more? Yes. But it works when it works, and when it doesn't, it all comes out in the wash. Jordan lost. Gilman lost. David Taylor lost. David Taylor, the deck was never more stacked against an athlete than it was against Aaron Brooks. He had to go through a gauntlet, and then he had to cut weight, and then he had to go through the pound-for-pound number one in the country. No, the world. And he had to beat him twice. And he did it. Mm-hmm. So I think when it doesn't work, I just think that's why. That's my general thesis.
So yes, it's hard to say it's worked. Like, there's some things that could be, we're just good at wrestling right now, mm-hmm. right? Like, we have a good country. And there's other things that are like, okay, this is working and this is making us good. Is someone sitting in the finals making us good at wrestling?
No.
I think that's agenda driven in a way. I think the United States, you know, Team USA, wanting the guy that did well last year, that medaled last year, that's agenda driven by saying he gets special treatment, right? Now, no shot to Zane. Zane could have made the team without sitting in the finals. He's really good at wrestling. And I actually know Zane probably more just because I wrestled the same times as him.
Yeah.
Than I'd have with Jesse, but Jesse's a Buckeye. So I have no dog in the fight for this, you know, in terms of like proximity to my, you know, friendship wise.
Yeah.
But my point is, if you are going to want to mirror something as close to the World Championships and the Olympics as you can, why not have it as close to the World Championships and Olympics as you can? You know what I mean? And that almost gets me to, and this goes against marketing a little bit, but this almost gets me to be like random brackets. Like, why are we making it unfair because of results from last year? We don't do that for any other sport. We'll give byes in football in the playoffs for how you did this season, mm-hmm. but we don't do it based on last season. That is weird. That is strange to do. So if it doesn't matter that much, then keep it fair. Like, it is weird that we are allowing.
It's worse in other countries, though. So. Like, the process, yeah, like Japan, right. Japan's Olympians are like set. Based on world performance last year. Russia just picks guys.
That's the thing with us, though. We have multiple guys. Now, we used to not have this, so I understood that the reason for sitting in the finals more because the gap was so far. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But nowadays, the gap's not that far. We have multiple world-level guys that could medal at each weight,
yeah.
right? Like, Gilman doesn't make the team. He's a silver medalist, right? Yeah. I think he was silver.
Yes.
And there's multiple, you know, weights just like that. So if we have multiple guys that can make world teams and multiple guys that can medal at the worlds, why not wrestle them and see who may the best man win? Let's see who it is. Let's see who the guy is. Whether it's an Ohio State guy that could have sat out or a Penn State guy that could have sat out, mom's the word. Let's wrestle. Let's see who's better. You know, I don't see the utility in sitting a guy out. It doesn't make sense in terms. I see the utility when you want someone specifically for Team USA, but utility in let's see who the better man is.
I don't want anyone.
Let's wrestle.
Yeah, I don't want anyone specifically. I just have seen how it's played out, and I've seen so many times the guy sitting out lose. It happens all the time. The only time it doesn't happen is when the guy's harder. Not as good.
It's an uphill battle. It's an uphill battle.
Yeah. It is uphill. It was uphill to medal at Worlds. It was uphill to win Worlds. It was uphill to win the Olympics.
For sure, but it's not uphill for one of the guys, and it will be uphill to medal at Worlds.
It all comes out in the wash.
It's uneven. Like, why should we have this uneven?
It is uneven.
Like, boo-hoo.
I'm not saying boo-hoo.
No, let's make it fair.
All right. We do have to end soon. Bader Show is on next.
Why do we got
to? Just before I was going to start cussing at John. We got to make
I loved this, though. I love.
You're going to have to come back.
I love having someone else on the show that will yell at Christian.
Yeah.
So you're welcome back anytime.
Yeah. Hey, you be safe, Johnny. We'll stay in touch. You'll be back on.
No tomorrow. Good stuff. Jump off.
Fun. Don't jump off anything. Just diving boards.
I want to figure out how to.
Thanks for having me.
Get paid Thank you, to John. Jump off things. It sounds awesome.
No, your body's not built for that.
Okay. Dang it. What makes you? Why do you get to decide that?
I'm just saying it because I don't want you to.
Your body's not built for walking around, but you do it every day somehow.
Defense mechanism because I don't want you to leave, Tyler. All right, we have to go. Thank you guys so much. This is a little spin off here, a little different kind of show. We'll be back Monday. Oh my gosh, it's Ben's last show. Mm-hmm. I meant to get into other things like Ben. When Ben's gone, Ben's last show is Monday. He's gonna be in studio. That's going to be awesome. Tyler's going to make a 30-minute.
You're visibly shaken up. You just remember that it's Ben's last show, and you just like lost. Lost complete train of thought.
I am freaking sad. I am sad about that. But I'll say more. I have more to say about that, and I'll say it on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you guys so much. U.S. Open. Tune in. It's going to happen in like 2 hours.
Going on today.
No.
Well, I didn't. I thought you meant in a couple. I thought you were going to say in a few days, but it's today.
Yeah.
And yesterday. And the next few days.
And a couple more days after that. Hope you guys have a great weekend. Watch the Open. Thank you so much. Goodbye.